Ancient Texts, The Genealogy of Energy, is a conversation by Julie Benetti and Susan Barbro and is a production of EI Alliance, copyright 2021.
About this, because I remember visually sitting down, and it's a very thin book, and I couldn't find it, so I listened to the audio.
I listened
to it on high speed.
But, oh my god! So you say that, and I have never read this. Okay, so we're talking about Chariots of the Gods by Erik Van Daniken. Did I say his name right? Because you know me as
Van Daniken.
Van Daniken. Yeah. Okay, and I'm not even going into how do we reread, you know, some of these hieroglyphs. I'm not even going into that. I'm going into communication. To me, this is a concept of communication.
Right. And so what I was trying to kind of open up was that the expression of what you just said makes a grounded point that time is just linear. And so it brings up a lot of concepts where like the floor is falling away from a lot of things. And so if you, then it kind of siphons you into a duality. If you experience time as linear, then that would be a perfect question in a linear span of time. And you would use your imagination understanding that time is linear. But what if you don't? What if you find other concepts? And then that's not to say that even those are the boilerplate for it. But there's a space, and I think when you talked about the more part, I think there's an energy to which he goes to in that. Yet it's, and we've said this in the past, and this isn't, you know, a crutch. It's you have to kind of find the vocabulary and find the words and find the energy. And sometimes it's just the energy that expresses that.
So I have to start by saying I haven't read any of his books since, so he could completely debunk what I'm saying here. So I haven't read his other books to say, you know, because you and I both know, like, I'll use The Matrix. Like, I've only seen the first one. I don't even think I saw the full movie at the very end. And I'm like, I go into one space and you're like, that's really good. But if you saw the rest of it, you would see that you were, you know, you are going somewhere that the movie didn't. You've said that to me so many times about different things. And this could be another one of those times. So because I haven't read his.
So the really funny thing about that, because your expression of that wasn't even what, you know, what you're saying beautifully illustrates and kind of cohabitates with what I just expressed. Because why would you need to see anything? Why would you need to hear anything? Why would you need to know anything? Your expression is almost your query is almost, you know, clearer, not seeing anything.
Okay, so the point of this statement was a great question to contemplate. I didn't mean that his answer or anything thereabouts. I thought that was a great question, because if you think about that and you then project out there, it can almost relate to anything. How do we communicate? We still don't really communicate. We don't really communicate as a species. We think we do. We think we do, but we know we don't. Because I could say something to you and you're hearing, we've had this conversation in the past. Don't ask me which podcast, but we've had this conversation. I'll say something to you and you will respond and I'll be like, oh, where did she come up with that? Like, because you're hearing it and you're processing it in that incredible mind of yours, and you're going somewhere and saying something, and I'm half the time saying like, wow, how did she go there? You know, and it's vice versa. It's not just you, but it's with anyone. We have conversations, we hear it based on our beliefs and our background, our history, and all that other stuff. And so it's interesting, this how do you communicate? We can't even communicate with each other. So how would you go back to, and or how would you try to communicate? Actually, maybe it'd be even easier. I don't know. I just thought that was my point on that. I was like, and I should read my quote. It says, great question to contemplate. But I thought that was a great, you know, because then, you know, when people don't take that, you know, of course they, he reflect upon you, these symbols, or you use math, or I forget what else he said, but I'm like, huh, still, if I were going to see, you know, it's just an interesting concept. How do you communicate? And then I didn't think about it until this, our conversation, which is like how 99% of our podcasts go. We, you know, you read it, I read it, we come together, and who knows where we're going to go with it, right? We never know. And I think that's interesting that we don't even communicate. We're doing a podcast, and there are people, I'm sure, listening who are saying on the top, you know, like, this is great. And they're hearing us say something else, or they're saying, this is stupid. It's, you know, aliens, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you're not even listening. But then will they ever listen?
I'm laughing because I'm doing a little plug here because, you know, I have another podcast and I'm doing So What Now What, and it's entries and I really don't know what's occurring. So I'm kind of writing it as it goes along. And I just wrote something about this. And what you just said was a beautiful example because, you talked about us doing a podcast and we're intersecting in this space. Mm-hmm. And I actually go into it in a different way in what I have as a podcast, but also it's on Kindle Vella too. So it's written, which is kind of cool. Anyway, because I'm trying to see the words that I wrote, what you said, we intersect, yet, you know, that is the beauty of the different part that's created. And it's from that intersection, and the intersection occurs because, you know, I'm listening to you. I'm not just talking to speak. I don't need to talk to speak.
No,
I'm listening to you. And and part of that conversation is that aspect of listening to you. And I'm fascinated with, you know, what I've actually written down 5 here, and I'm wondering if I have all your 5 bullets and you have 3 more to go, or did you put some together? And
I've got a great one you're gonna love. I got a great one you are going to love.
So see, I'm actually engaging. There's an engagement going on. And you know, I'm looking at the time thinking, yeah, I'll just cut this in half and put it up as 2. I'm not even gonna stop it because who gives a crap, right?
Right, do whatever. Right.
Yeah. So you know, the funny thing is, you know, I think one thing I want to say is that, you know, a couple of things you've said in the expressions of your comments back to what I've said, you know, like when you said, oh, I haven't read his stuff, or I haven't, it's funny because what you're actually doing is actually proving the point of that beautiful creative space that, you know, opens up. It's not, you know, there with a key or any blah, 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 but it opens up when people actually communicate. And it could be by book, it could be by podcast, it could be by anything, you know, by conversation, anything. And that space that opens up, you know, we don't know. Nor, you know, I always laugh when you say, oh, somebody could be listening to this. And I'm like, oh, gosh, that was like furthest from my, you know, I'm here listening to you going, okay, right. He's got 3 bullets left. You know, you're what are so the funny. Other 3 going to be?
You're so
and
funny.
I'm not even thinking. And you're so good bringing in, you know, the other part of the people. But that's just a given because we're all like connected in some way. And, and people are listening and people are accessing. And people are going wild with this stuff. And that's actually one of my comments. I'm not going to say, you know, I want to see what your other bullets are because I have one comment in them. And I'm thinking, why would I be so, you know, I'm not expressing it negatively. And then I realize that it's an actual positive comment. So I'll get to it at the end because it's not.
Okay, you get the last word then. We've made that distinction.
No. I want your comments.
I think one of the things that you just brought up is so important. And it's the fact that I haven't read any of his stuff except this, and then we're having this conversation, and I say it because I don't know where he goes in the future in the past, which is the future, right? Because after he wrote this book, he's written other books and I haven't read them. So I could be completely speaking out of turn and I'm not worrying about that, but I'm being very clear. It's like, not like I've read all 10 or 20 of his books, and now I'm having this conversation with knowing where he goes. And this is a great example of what you just said, that when you read a book, you have a conversation, and where we go with our, even with the, you know, the ancient texts, we go and look at some of these ancient books, and then we have this conversation. It's more, I like to think it's more broad, it's more open-minded, and it's not, this is the way it is. It's more, these are the questions we're asking. This is kind of the sense that we're getting. And I, that's what I love doing with you. I love doing that. Whatever podcast we're on, whether we're talking about a book or whether we're talking about something we saw, we bring that aspect of all of us, you and me, and our listeners, I'm sure, are doing the same thing, of bringing that forward. And I think this is a great example, because someone could say, you know, she's talking about this, but he doesn't say any of this later. I don't know if he does or doesn't. And that's not why I'm bringing this up. This is where I'm going with you. This is the conversation I want to have with you. And so that's why we're having the conversation. And where he goes is second. And maybe there's another book I read or not or whatever. But this is a great example of exactly what we do with these books that were, you know, some of the old, really old books that, you know, you only have that one book, right? And so this is where we go. This is a great example of it. So, you know, the next thing I wanted to, the point I wanted to bring up, of course, in my mind, relates to the Kabbalion. So he was talking, he goes further down. This is after he talks about cosmic consciousness, and then he starts talking. He goes from there into understanding, and he goes into Einstein, and he talks about, you know, the theory of relativity. I've never heard it described this way. And I had to keep going back because, again, it's an audiobook. I had to go back, I don't know how many times, 10 times, because I wanted to write it. He says, quote, mass and energy are only different forms of one and the same phenomenon, blah, blah, blah. He says, mass can be produced from the void. And he gives examples or whatever. And I'm like, you know, I never heard it described that way. And I'm like, and of course it's the Kabbalion, right? Because it's, once again, you get into the Kabbalion, we talk about it, they're extreme forms of the same substance, whatever it is, hot and cold, high, low, you know, tall, short. It's, they're all extremes. Mm-hmm. If we go to the extremes of the same thing. And I'm like, I've never heard, and he didn't say Kabbalion, but of course, mass and energy are only different forms of one and the same phenomenon. I stay with it. And I'm like, that is such a loaded statement. And I've never heard it described that way.
So what if you took that sentence, which I just wrote down, different forms of one and the same phenomena, and you put a line in front of it? How many nouns could you put in front of there?
What do you mean, a line where mass and energy is?
No, right before. Yeah. You did like a, what was those Mad Libs? Create a Mad Lib and put a line in front of that. Something is different forms of one and the same phenomena. How many nouns could you put in there?
Infinite. Mm. And that's true. And that's the Kabbalion. You know, we could go on forever. We have a whole podcast that goes crazy.
Right. I'm wondering if you, yes, we have a whole podcast that is going crazy actually about it.
I know. And it's, and we go into this in extreme. I mean, I don't know how many shows we have, but they're huge.
So it's your focus on, so my focus on this, or mass and energy?
No, thank you. Huh? It's mass and energy. That's the focus. Cause you're right. It's an infinite. And that's why I mentioned, we talk about the Kabbalion. We go into this in such depth, and I'm not going to do that here because it's, I mean, I don't know how many hundreds of shows. So that doesn't make sense for me to go into it here. Mass and energy. I am like, it just stopped me in my tracks. And I think of it that as being the Kybalion, two extremes of the same thing, same phenomenon.
So what stopped you about mass and energy?
Because there's something in that. That's a lot of what we've been talking about. We talked about the Kabbalah. We talked about.
So hold on. So mass and energy kind of pushed you, but it pushed you into the different forms of one and the same phenomena. And that's, and I'm not talking about a conversation of the Kybalion, but it pushed you into sensing something.
Right.
And so I asked you if it was mass and energy or yes. if it was the second part of the statement, and you said mass and energy. So what about mass and energy?
So I don't have the answer. So I can sit here and kind of brainstorm with you because sometimes I go on and on and it's like, where am I going with this? I don't know yet. It's like life and death, existence, non-existence. That's where I go with it without going off in a tangent. I've never heard it that way. And he said, and I don't have the example written down, so I might sound ignorant as I try to recreate it, but like you put a beam and it can be broken down to a neutrino and a protein and a neutrino or something like that, proton and neutron or something like that. Two physical things, a beam of light can be broken down. Something that's just pure energy is broken down into mass. He says that's science. And he used that as a description of the, you know, Einstein's theory of relativity. And there's something about it that just, I've never heard it expressed that way. I don't know. I never heard it expressed that way. And then, of course, I wrote down Kybalion because that's, and that's why I know we're not going into a discussion about the Kybalion, but I'm like, wait a minute, that's the Kybalion.
Well, okay. So I keep asking you and you keep going to the same thing. And
I told you I didn't have the answer. I'm not trying to sit here and basically, you know, just keep throwing out ideas and thoughts and try to get close to it because I tend to do that. And then I sound kind of idiotic.
Because stop beating up on yourself. So.
No, but I knew that's how I do it. A lot of times I
keep asking is because, you know, where I said you put a line in front and it could be anything in the beginning, anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Humans are different forms of one and the same phenomena. Mm-hmm. Aliens are different forms of one and the same, but anything. It could mm-hmm. be anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my question was, you know, is it really the mass and energy part or is it the different forms of one and the same phenomena? And then to associate just that last part of the line with the Kybalion, it's actually the first part of the Kybalion that'll push you into the second part, but you don't have to be pushed into the second part because if you stay right. in the same phenomena, it's like that's where we all are in the same phenomena. So that's why I was asking what was it about mass and energy, and I didn't think it was Einstein's theory of relativity. So what yeah. about the Kybalion part? So if you wrote down the Kybalion, you said the Kybalion, are you surprised that he's expressing an aspect
no.
of the Kybalion? Are you?
No, I have never heard the theory of relativity described that way.
Well,
and I said the Kybalion because maybe that's, if I look back at the Kybalion with this in mind, there's something I missed. There's something in that, and I don't know what it is. That's why, you know, you keep saying, well, what is it? I'm like, I don't know yet. I don't know. Because there's something about that I never saw or understood before, and I don't know what I'm understanding. It's almost like something, a light went on, and I'm like, well, where the hell am I? Like, someone turned on the light, like, what? I don't know. I
think my point is, if I could say it's cold outside.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's wintertime now in the Northeast. And, you know, we would both focus on the cold. Mm-hmm. But why wouldn't we focus on the outside? Why would the cold matter? If you focus on the outside, but it looks sunny and beautiful, but it's cold. So my question is, you know, it's funny because sometimes it's like with, here's a compliment for you. It's like with Von Gogh. It's like you're saying so much more and you're saying, oh, no, but I don't know what I'm saying. And it's like, well, wait a minute. You just said so much more. I mean, it's almost like that's why.
So here we go, listeners. This is exactly what I mean. I say something just very basic and Julie's like, oh, my God. And I love that. Like, so what did you hear?
So it's funny. So go to Einstein and the theory of relativity. And there's a lot of like funny things about it because, you know, everyone's, oh, okay. He was famous for, well, no, he wasn't famous for that. He was famous for the photoelectric effect. Right. And when you learn all that stuff and you go, and you keep on, and where are you? You're in duality. You're in the Kybalion with the first part of that sentence. You're completely in it. So it like trips you and you're falling and you're down there going, oh, my knee. Oh, my knee. That's an inside joke, folks. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's not. I'm going to say it's not a Nancy Kerrigan thing because hear. No, it's got nothing to do with it. This is an Endra.
My arm. You want appendage.
It's not about Nancy Kerrigan because I don't want
just
people.
Just said that four times in the podcast.
So. Yeah, because I want it to be clear. We're not. So
this is funny because there was a part that keeps on coming back to me and I keep looking at my notes and I'm thinking, why? Okay, this keeps on coming back. And he says something, and I think it's, and I have him, I did it by chapter just in case you're like, all right, I want to talk about. And he talks about legends and facts and ancient imagination and things in antiquity that shouldn't have been there and similarities. And he talks about Indian myth and time is the seed of the universe. Mm. Like, ooh, that's one we can play with. Mm. And, you know, anyway, in this part, he talks about, you know, a lot of different myths have spaceship references, like you were talking about with the Bible in the beginning, last podcast. And there was something that he said about, you know, traditions tell the same story. All the religions tell the same story. And, you know, it was questionable. He was talking about different things that occurred and if there was a nuclear war back then and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he would have to work out certain things and interpret apparitions different ways and certain things can be made up. And so where am I going with this? And, you know, nobody ever goes to the point where, you know, it's sleight of hand. Is it a ruse? Is something going on? Is something a little bit, you know, because you kind of fall into the question. And then you fall into the, oh, wow, yeah, mass and energy are different forms of one and the same phenomena. And yet when the real, like, gold is the thing at the end of the sentence saying, hello, same phenomena here, one and the same, hello. And, you know, there's a real gold to the, and what it's what you were saying before in the other podcast about, you know, it being right in front of your face. Him saying, look where you are. It's right in front of your face. You know, he was saying, you know, there's the same story in every culture and who but rebirth into people's heads and death is the way it is. And, you know, that was a part of what you were saying about the time capsules and contents and all this stuff. And it's funny. And you start to think you want to bake a cake. Well, you have certain ingredients in order to bake a cake. Otherwise, you're going to get cookies or muffins.
Well, the time capsule was just kind of people have tried to put together their own, but I think the issue is communication. It's a communication issue, which we all have because none of us can fully communicate with anyone else. I don't care how intelligent you are because you bring in your own thoughts, your own background, your own history, your own beliefs, all of that comes in. I could say, I look at that girl with that beautiful red shirt. And someone else can say, oh, you know, a girl wearing a red shirt means X and Y, so that means she's blah, blah, blah. I don't know why that came to mind, but anyway, you know what I mean? It's like there's never a clear communication. It doesn't matter who we are. And then I think this, we've had this conversation about the Kybalion, and we've said about, you know, the minute you go into duality, you're caught in something.
You're up Schitt's Creek.
No, I'm not.
No, because... I said you're up Schitt's Creek.
Okay.
No, well, forget it.
Why? Because I like Schitt's Creek. Love that show. I love Dan. You know, Dan Levy. He's just amazing. Anyways, but there's this. This is not about the duality of it. This is about something I've never considered, and I don't have the exact words for it. And I am going to duality with it. Of course, I'm going into duality.
Well, duality is familiar.
Yeah, but it's
you almost want to insert, you know, the carnival music here.
No, I was the first one that said that we should not. The minute you go into duality, you lose it, or you lose the concept of the all. We so I know that. So when I'm saying that because. You should know that I know that. And so I'm saying something different here. You know that. You know I understand that concept. It's cellular with me. I know that. There's something in this.
So you're telling yourself that because I know that. So I'm not.
So then,
that's
but
not
why
what
would you bring in? Why would you bring in the carnival music? Like, okay, come on in, everybody. We're going into duality. And that's not where I'm there's something. You know, that like minimizes what I'm...
No, it doesn't at all, because duality is familiar.
Okay.
It doesn't minimize at all.
Okay. All right. Then I'll just pass on that. That's something I have to... There's something in that, though, that's a... It's like a big freaking in your face.
Also,
that's...
you know, when a carnival comes to town, people either are interested in going or they could care less. And some people see it and say, oh, that looks like fun. And that looks like, and that is an aspect of duality. It's familiar.
So are you kind of assuming that I'm going to this and I'm stuck on that because it's familiar? Is that
no,
what your thoughts
are? No, I'm
not
tipping anything. I'm not integrating anything into your, no, I'm not being a doctor here. I'm not doing anything.
Because
I'm still in that space of where we're having this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm in.
Yeah. So I guess when you hear this, you're like, yeah, you know that. And like, when I read that sentence, you don't sense anything from it. I mean, that's my question, really, because I read it and I'm like, there's something in that.
Well,
it may not even be these specific words, but
I don't stop at the mass and energy part, and you put it with connected to the Kabbalion. I didn't, you know, hear any of, I mean, there was a lot of duality and stuff, but I didn't associate anything with the, you know, I didn't think about the Kabbalion when I was listening to this. I was more so, I had another, you know, thing that kept on kind of poking at me.
What was that?
Throughout it all, there were a couple of funny things, like the archaeological stuff and all the stuff he mentioned and everything. It was like, you know, this is the terrible thing, but this is just generic. I'll say it generic. You know, you have kids and they leave stuff all over. And then you're like, oh, clean up your stuff. And there's no, you know, there's no real answers. And, you know, this is an aspect of what I'm saying. There's no real answers. I mean, it could be like someone leaving their stuff all over the place. And why are there so many, you know, comparisons? And why are there so many similarities to different places and different archaeology and different. And so when all this kind of stuff occurs, and that's why I brought up the carnival, too, because, you know, there's a lot of distractions. He asks a lot of great questions. There are a lot of distractions when the questions in and of themselves, like like I said, the question book he wrote was like interesting because it asked questions and then associated the question, but there are a lot of distractions and it makes perfect sense why they called it Chariots of the Gods instead of Memories of the Future. There's just a lot of distractions. And, you know, the thing that I kind of came away with was, you know, this is huge that, you know, yes, he's asking a lot of questions and he brought these things up. And then I always look and see when a book was written. And I think, wow, this was back in the 1960s. And I go, okay, so he brought up all this stuff. It was translated into umpteen languages, you know, millions of copies sold. Mm-hmm. He's on Ancient Aliens. Millions of people see him. Did it change the awareness?
It changed my awareness when I'm reading his stuff, because I'm not listening. That's why I can't go into the depth of, okay, then this, and then that, and then this, and this, and the archaeology. I hear it, and I go to these nuggets to me. To me, these are the nuggets that I take away from it. Maybe that, you know, it's funny. I read things differently, I guess, and what I get. And I think it changed. I'm looking at some of this and I'm like, I you know, and I guess, did anybody change? I don't know. And I mean, I don't care. I mean, I'm having this conversation with you and I think this is a great conversation. So therefore my answer to that question is, yeah, things changed. Because we're having a very interesting conversation, moving forward, moving ourselves forward. Now, what anyone else does with it is not my business. And whether ancient aliens is whatever it is, it's not my business. So to me, and if anyone's listening and has listened to this conversation, and we've brought up some good things, and we've had some, you know, interesting topics, I think, to contemplate. I think it made a difference. I don't know out there. Like you said, I don't know. Mm. I think this aligns a lot with what we've done. In many ways, in the book, you know, in energetic invocations, and of course, then of the Kabbalion. I mean, it just all aligns. And I think he went one way, which is not that he was wrong. He just went to what he was interested in, and he made hypothesis, and he tried to bring in. I mean, you could look at our book, and we brought in a lot of scientific principles, and you could say that was distraction. But I think it was supportive of what we were trying to communicate. So I don't think it was distracting. And, you know, he brings in a lot, but he had a lot of science behind it all. And he was trying to debunk the science. And I think just the idea that, I mean, yeah, we know the tons of other books been written and movies and all this other stuff. And so from a creative standpoint, yeah, that's great. But from an intellectual standpoint, I think it debunks everything we've been told. It doesn't mean he's right or he's wrong, but you can't ignore the questions. And that's the part that I find, because then it opens to everything. And then what else does it open to? It opens to the stuff we're talking about. We're going into the energy and we're going deeper than where he did. I think I haven't read any of his books since then, and I don't know anything about him other than the couple times. So I think based on his 1967 book, we could have an interesting conversation with him. Mm. And who knows where he might have gone. And, you know, and I just think this opens up the door to see things differently. To open your mind to other ways of being and existing than what everybody else tells you, which is what we sort of tell you too, right? That's what we talk about that. We do it differently. And so that's where I'm like, he's my hero. He's like, wow, back in 1967, man, you know, I didn't read it. And I'm glad I didn't read it until now. Because I'm in a different place, so of course I'm going to read it. And who knows, if I had read it 10 years ago, I might have been like, oh my God, who knows? I would have been like, ancient aliens say. You never know with me, but yeah.
So we're both actually saying the same thing in a different way. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's almost like a macro and a micro version. Mm-hmm. And so I find it intriguing that he brings up, which is, you know, which sometimes can be dead weight to bring up all these examples. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they don't become superficial, because then people go, oh, yeah, why? Why is that in Egypt? And why is that also in Israel? And why is that? Yeah. And it's like, no, that's not what it's about. And that's where it becomes a distraction. And it's okay if that's where you want to go. That's your prerogative. But that's where it becomes a distraction. And it's always kind of like a cycle of being roped into the same kind of ruse all the time.
Well, right. It's like you're saying, you're moving from one group of one way of thinking into another whole new way of thinking. And if you do that, you're right. You're going just from one to, you're going from one boat and jumping on another boat instead of like, get a raft and go in the ocean for a while and think for yourself.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, so, exactly. And it's funny because, of course, it would be a great, you know, pivot point for Ancient Aliens. I mean, you could you could do a whole series on every single chapter that he did.
Right.
This is great. It's content.
You're right. That's what ended up we had that conversation. Yeah. That's why when Ancient Aliens, I don't listen to it, but I when he is on, if you hear him with I try to like bring in an unbiased ear. Mm. Does that mean I do it all the time? No. But when I listen to him, I'm like, he's not really saying what the other guys say. He's not really saying it. Mm. And the points that I'm bringing out are that he's not saying jump on this boat. He's bringing in a hypothesis, and yeah, now they're creating another boat. Oh, now we've got, here's the Disney cruise line. Well, now you said Disney, right? Now we've got the alien cruise line. Come on here. We have people dressed as aliens. You get to, the slide goes through the cosmos. You can have an alien, cruise ship. Come on our ship. We have, we go into whole aliens,
Patent that idea. Kid.
Yeah. but so you're right. And that's what Ancient Aliens is doing. But if you go to his book, I don't hear that. And it may just be me. I hear question everything. He's actually saying, why did this happen? Why did that? Why are they doing this? Or why? How did this or what? He gives a hypothesis and he's clear to say that. He doesn't say this is what it is and this is what's going to happen and this and.
Well, he also talks about, the delusion that things have to be proved. And he talks about, the different methods that occur and people say, oh, it's against the rules or it's not classical enough.
Right.
Or it's too revolutionary.
Right.
Or, universal that can't go with that. Or others have tried or no sense in it. Yep. Not proved yet. All these things. And then plus, tons of them that could go on and on. And so, that I think is what I was bringing up when I was saying so. It's kind of like, okay, so, what's the awareness? And I think that's a good question.
And I love, because I thought you were going to say, so where do you go from there? Because if you read this book as I'm reading it, where do you go? It's an individual question. If you watch Ancient Aliens, you're right. Where do you go? Well, that means that aliens here, they're going to come back and they're going to do, I don't go there. And again, to me, this book makes me say, what is it I believe? What? And it doesn't mean I have to define it. It means what have I believed that may not have really been exactly, it was more propaganda, as you said, or more a hypnotic suggestion or a, and that's where I go. I don't jump on the alien ship. Now, okay, now I'm moving from the Disney ship to the, I'm just kind of like, okay, I'm on a boat here or a little rubber raft and where am I going with this? And I think that's why I say like, oh, he's my hero, because it's almost like threw everything out. Like, well, okay, now what?
The other thing is important to note. I mean, in the last chapter, I was like, okay, I'm going to write down, because I don't have the book in front of me. I'm going to write down a couple of things, the questions he's asking.
Mm-hmm.
And I vaguely remember, like, there was a long list. And some of them, so I was like, okay. And he's asking, where do we stand today? Will mankind dominate space one day? Did unknown beings from the cosmos? And I'm like, what happened? All the questions, the really good questions.
Mm.
Are unknown intelligences somewhere in the universe trying to make contact with us?
So I'm
like, okay. Is our age of discovery going to take the future by storm? And it's like, well, look, how many years later, 50, 60 years later. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, oh, what about medicine and people colonizing other planets? And man is going to create the second, third, and fourth Earth. And I'm like, what happened? And so the questions became, you know, and this is what I was talking about, the carnival. It's like, oh, the music starts and you're like, what? Do you smell popcorn? What? You know, and it's like, wait a minute, you were in this. And that doesn't take away any energy from the book or anything.
Yeah,
I always like to go deeper and more intense and more, you know, and he talks about, you know, oh, future think tanks and, you know, prolonging life and, you know, all these things about oddities, which I thought was a funny word he used. And, you know, I think the energy to it almost, you know, almost wanted me to say, you know, there was an aspect of awareness and no, not stopping there, but, you know, going further with things. Yet it's funny how, you know, does everything need to be grounded in order to be understood?
Well, one thing is that we know this because we got this one negative feedback that I you know, I'm not going to laugh when I say it, but for a book to be well-received, well-read, it has to have an answer. So he had to, I mean, he had to somehow sum it up to make it that people want to read it, right? Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, there's always the marketing aspect. Well, and we, you know, we talk about our book and it was like, well, you didn't give an answer. It's like, yeah, because our book, the whole book was the answer. There was no one answer. Yeah. The book was the answer. And if you did the work, you would have done. And she just, you know, the, you know, whatever. I don't know what she looked at. Funny, she probably read, like you said, read the last page. And well, like, well, there's no answer. It's like, well,
the
what?
Funny thing about that is, you know, you are the answer. You were the answer. There you go. And, you know, if you don't want you to be the answer, who cares?
That's so good. So too. We know
and the thing is about that, though, is really important what you said, because there's you know, there's an aspect here. And I think that I was bringing out, too, that, you know, OK, it's Chariots of the Gods. It's about space. It's about this. It has to fit the narrative.
Right.
If it doesn't fit the narrative, then we don't know what to do with you.
And that's...
not only do we not know what to do with you, how are we going to make it fit in? And, you know, hogwash to that.
But that's a potential. Back then, you couldn't self-publish. He had to look through, you know, and he you know, went through all these gyrations trying to get the book published. And he said they changed the title, and I'm sure they reworked some of it. And so there must have been a give and take, because at that point in time, that's what was required. So we don't know what was changed. And could that ending have been the way that they want to finish it? It's like, you know, you like to end it on a high note and boom, and then we're going to boom and boom and yeah. Everyone's shouting and screaming. This is great. It's like, but you really, what did you do? And so I'm not disagreeing with you that like the carnival came into town, but you know, he had to sell the book. He had a publisher that was me, you know, I'm sure had their own requirements. And so I just focused on what I got. And you know me, I read sometimes and I hear this other stuff and I'm like, oh, blah, 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 blah. Okay.
I always kind of bring up these things to you and, you know, it fascinates me that you're giving a great explanation of what, you know, why he had to do it in publishing and blah, 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 blah. And I don't mean that to you, blah, blah, blah. But all those different aspects, she gave a great, real, grounded explanation of what we know occurs.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, if you topple that over and look at the other side of the same coin, there's a purposeful explanation that, you know, I'm not interested in putting into words, but, you know, I'll say it this way. So we know, you know, publishers, I know, I used to do the research and now I just self-published. I used to do all the research on how to get published and how to get what you had to do and what you had to send in. And this is how it works. And then they look at your thing and then they tell you what, exactly all you said. You got to edit, you got to change it, you got to do that, you got to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we know that? It's like, so... That's part of the distraction of the book, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? What I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's part of like the carnival.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, so
exactly.
That's irrelevant to us. So even if that was the issue, I mean, falling, because, you know, I think and I'm just going to speak for myself. I'm really moving forward with a conscious effort to be, you know, responsible to what it is I'm, and even when I'm writing and the little entries that I'm doing and the whatever I'm working on, wait a minute, is this, you know, talking about the same crap, or is it actually go into a new space that explores something different?
Yep.
And I think this aspect where he was saying at the end about space, I mean, maybe there was something else he was trying to say, and who knows? And it's funny because you're, you know, in that nice way, you kind of go into the people part, and I don't because I look at the kind of, that's where I go into the macro of the energy. And there's certain stuff going on now that wasn't happening for whatever the case was of the energy in the world, you know, 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes sense. There's different time changes. But then do I know? Who knows? Maybe there was something going on, little tidbits, and it was going on the way it was going on, and it pilfered out into however it could. And now, you know, everything is open wide.
So I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you. And I made a hypothesis of potentially why it ended that way, and it's none of, I don't know, I've never heard that, I just made an assumption.
That wasn't a oh my gosh, how could you do that? It was a great example. You gave a great example of the people part that we are trained to expect. And
exactly,
now that's all over the place,
right?
And that was beautiful.
And so if that's true, if that's true, what you just said, then you answered the question, did this make a difference? And it did. Because we don't believe in that anymore. So you just answered the question. Thank you. Very beautifully too.
And so
I think we've debunked this. This is a good conversation. Thank you, Julie. Sorry, you're going to have to probably clear a little bit of that because I didn't know if you wanted to. Very good conversation. The one thing I would like to end with, maybe I told you could end, but screw it. I guess I'm here.
Hey, you know what?
All right, let me say, because I have my last point
or hold it to you. So I'm still wondering. I got 6 bullets here.
Yeah. So let me give you the last one. One of the things that I love, and just take it, you know, at what he says and then move with it. He says, when we do establish contact, we'll all get an answer and we will have peace on earth. The path to heaven is open, and the, end quote, the absurdity of celestial wars will be abundantly clear, and we will once understand. Men of all races, people, nations will unite. The earth with all its problems will fall in line with the rest of cosmic processes. And to me, that says a ton, because that can occur through, you know, if there is alien contact, but that does not require alien contact for that to occur. But I think what he said was a beautiful understanding of accessing cosmic consciousness and understanding it differently. We do not need alien contact. What if we've already had alien contact? And maybe we will, maybe we won't. That's not the point of that I'm making. I'm making that when we understand, all our problems will go away. And I do believe that. So you can finish.
Oh, I just, where was that?
Oh, dear God. It's number 7 on my list.
You don't know where it was.
I just, as I go, sometimes I hear it and it's like, wait, stop. What is it? And I don't.
And you wrote
I can find it for you, but.
Oh, that's okay. I was just curious because I think, you know, the aspect of, you know, doing the work to get there, and it's not going to be delivered in a spaceship or Uber or, you know, or
yep.
the food place that delivers, but
But no, you're right. It's doing the work. Yes.
It's being responsible and it's asking the questions and a whole bunch more things.
Yeah.
You know, that's not just, okay, these are the three things you need to do.
No, there's no, right. There's everybody, give me the pill. I want the pill. No, there's no pill to this. Mm. This is work, but it's work that is possible. It can be done. Mm. And then when I read that, I was like, I know this is true. I know it's true. I mean, you can sit there and ask me, how do you know? I just know. In fact, today I went for a nice, almost 5-mile walk on the beach. It's freezing out, but I was like, I need this walk. So I bundled up and I realized there's a lot of things I know. And if someone says, well, prove to me, I'm going to say, go take a flying leap. I don't need to prove anything. I know what I know. And you said this to me and you know what you know. Mm. I know this is true. I know it. And so I have to live it. And he said it and but the problem is he prefaced it with when we establish contact. And the question is contact with whom?
Mm.
He made an assumption. You know, he said contact with whom? It's with ourselves.
Mm. Mm. And, you know, there's the danger of being in a certain vernacular that takes you into one genre that, you know,
right.
becomes a narrative and then mm-hmm. gets pushed around because of that. And,
yep.
you know, yep. Yeah. Hmm.
So what did you want to finish with? You get to give the last.
I thought that was the last word right there.
No, yours.
Hey, that worked for me.
No, what's your thing?
No, I grabbed at everything. I don't know.
You said you had something you were saving for the end, the analysis for the end.
Oh, that was what I said. I brought it up already about the awareness. That wasn't an
analysis. Oh.
That's
actually huge. Say that. That's huge. Because that is what keeps everybody in the waiting mode.
Well, right, exactly. And, you know, having that question often, you know, doesn't work for you. It's not the question to ask. Mm. And so it was just and obviously I didn't write the full thing down because as I was listening, I wrote down in brackets,
mm-hmm.
you know, everyone bought this. Millions of copies sold because, you know, he goes on in the beginning foo-fooing about, you know, translated and blah, you know, and I'm like, okay. And, you know, the question was, did it change the awareness?
Mm.
Or do people keep on getting roped back into the same ruses all the time and distracted by the carnival music?
So if we see a new cruise line show up, we'll know. The alien cruise line. Come and explore the world beyond.
Well, there you go. You gave them a tagline and everything.
I know.
Send the bill. Send the bill, wherever it is. Get your cryptocurrency.
Thank you, Julie. This is a wonderful conversation, as always. Seriously, as always. I enjoy my conversations with you.
Yeah,
I look forward
to
them.
Now you got to go get your own glass of wine.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you, too. Until next time.
Thank you.
Thank you for subscribing and listening to this production from EI Alliance. Check out our Amazon Authors pages and Google Play Books for our books and ebooks, and our fan link for podcasts available everywhere. Find music from the Free Rock Trio and New Threads everywhere too.